Welcome to Digging Deeper, a podcast of Perimeter Church in Atlanta, Georgia, hosted by me, Jeff Norris, along with my co-host, Laura Story Elvington. This podcast aims to equip you to follow Jesus by digging deeper into the teachings and topics of the Bible and of culture and really just life in general.
And we're excited about this next series of episodes that we're calling Kingdom People. And all of us, I think, feel this push and pull of the culture around us. And in the midst of these cultural pressures, how do we live in a way that really represents the kingdom of God in what feels like a very different kingdom?
So over these next episodes, we're going to be joined by a diverse group of special guests who help us explore not only what it means to live counterculturally, but equip us also with tools and perspectives to live as a people after God's own heart.
So I'm so glad you joined us as we dig into the treasures of God's Word and apply them to our lives today as we follow Jesus together. Now, let's jump into today's discussion.
Well, Laura, I am so thrilled to be, and I know you are too, to be joined by Don Whitney, who is joining us from Kansas City, where he is he's one of the professors at Midwestern Theological Seminary there. And Don, thank you so much for taking out of time. You were just telling us before we hit record here that you guys have just recently moved into a house and it's being renovated. And even as we record this episode, there may be some noises we hear in the background, but we'll work with it, right?
That's right. And it's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, thanks for joining us, brother. You have written a book that we are familiar with here at Perimeter called Praying the Bible. And our executive pastor, Eric Ryan, actually used this fairly recently to help us kind of lead through a prayer time with our staff. And so that was a blessing. Laura, why don't you kind of remind those listening of kind of what the series is that we're in, what we're talking about, and why we're talking to Don.
Well, we're in a season of our Digging Deeper podcast called Kingdom People. And so we have looked at all sorts of characteristics of, you know, what do kingdom people look like? What does the Bible tell us that that should be characteristics of kingdom people? And one of those most outstanding characteristics is that kingdom people pray. And so even just right off the bat, why is prayer so important in the life of a believer?
Well, the Holy Spirit makes it so for us. When anyone is born again, another person comes to live within us, right? The person of the Holy Spirit. He's not a force, as a lot of professing Christians believe. He is the third person of the triune Godhead. And when this other person comes to live within you, which means each of us now, we have two people living in our body. You do, of course, and the person of the Holy Spirit. And if we have an expectant moms watching this, you know, three people are living in their bodies. And that other person is not passive. And so just like when an expectant mom, there comes that moment, you know, she says, man, something's different. Something's going on. And she realizes, oh, there's another person living in my body. That's what's going on. Well, and then eventually, everyone knows there's another person living within her body. There's the evidence of another person there. And the same is true when the person of the Holy Spirit indwells a believer. There eventually is evidence, or we call that fruit, of the Spirit's presence. And one of those things is he gives us a desire to pray. So the Holy Spirit, when he indwells us, gives us holy hungers we didn't have before. You hunger for the holy word of God you used to find boring or irrelevant. You hunger for fellowship, not just socializing with other Christians, but actually talking about God and the things of God like we are now. You hunger and enjoy those kinds of conversation with God's people. And you have new holy longings because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You long to live in a holy body without sin anymore. You long to live with a holy mind, no longer attracted to temptation ever again. And you long to live in a holy and perfect world with holy and perfect people, and at last see face to face when the angels call, holy, holy, holy. And one of the things the Bible says that he does in all those in whom he dwells, he causes us, both Romans and Galatians says, we don't merely choose this. He causes us to cry out, Abba, Father. In other words, all those indwelled by the Holy Spirit really want to pray. Now, I've never met anyone, any Christian, who says, I pray all that I want to pray and that I'm fully satisfied with my prayer life. But the point is, part of the evidence of the indwelling of a supernatural person within you is you have this new heavenward orientation, this new fatherward orientation you didn't have before, Abba, Father. So the reason, in direct answer to your question there, Laura, is if that is not there, that is, you know, evidence that a person is not indwelled by the Holy Spirit. They're not born again if there's no desire to pray.
Hmm. Don, let me ask you this in light of that. First of all, I love the everything you're saying about the Holy Spirit is really timely because we just, back in August, did a series through the Holy Spirit as a congregation. And I taught through just a number of things about the Holy Spirit. And a lot of what you're saying is what we've been discussing here and pressing in here. So it's very, very timely. In light of that, though, what do you say to someone who seems to certainly show the signs of being a believer, right? But yet they really struggle with prayer. It's hard for them. They even feel condemned at a certain level that they don't pray more. How do you respond to that?
Well, I say, cheer up. You're normal. that, as I said earlier, I've never met a Christian who says I pray all I ought to pray, or that I'm fully satisfied with my prayer life. I've met a lot of people say I believe right now I've never had a more vibrant, active prayer life. I enjoy prayer more, but I've never met anyone, you know, fully satisfied with that. Don't expect to really on this earth. But frankly, where I tend to go quickly is to talk with them about the mechanics of their prayer life. And what I inevitably find as it gets to the book here is that there is this almost universal tendency for people, when they do pray, to say the same old things about the same old things. Mm. And when you say the same old things about the same old things, you know, about 1,000 times, frankly, it's boring. Yeah. And when prayer is boring, you don't feel like praying. Because mm-hmm. you know you're about to do something, it's going to be boring. When you know you're about to do something boring, you don't feel like doing it. You don't feel like praying. Well, that makes praying all the harder. Now, the problem is not that we pray about the same old things. That's normal because our lives tend to consist pretty much of the same old things. I've discovered if I'm doing a conference on this somewhere, and you know, if people were to go out to pray for 10 minutes without any instructions, when they came back, I think we'd discover everyone prayed pretty much about the same six things. They'd pray something about their family, their future, their finances, their work or schoolwork if they're students, church or ministry or Christian concern of some sort, and the current crisis in their life. And since those things don't change dramatically very often, thank the Lord, that means that from day to day, we pray pretty much about the same old things. The problem comes when we say the same old things. So I will go there to see if that's what they're doing, and there's a simple, permanent, biblical solution to that almost universal problem.
All right. Well, you set that up really, really well. What is it? You
got to
tell us. You got to tell us the solution.
Well, the simple, permanent, biblical solution, well, it has to be simple, right? If God expects all of his people to pray, in fact, if he prompts us to pray by the Holy Spirit, as we said, and if he invites all his people all over the world to pray, and among those people, you've got people of every different age group, every socioeconomic group, every IQ level, every educational level, every level of Christian privilege, and by that I mean I was on a mission trip once to Kenya, not even the pastor had a Bible. And then there are people like everyone at Perimeter Church who has incredible amounts of Christian privileges and resources like this podcast available to them. But if we're all to do the same thing, it must be fundamentally simple, right? And that's just a pastoral encouragement for all those people who say, you know, I guess it's just me. There's something wrong with me. I want to pray. I try to pray. I've read books about prayer. No matter what I do, I always end up saying the same old things. It's boring. And I try to encourage them to say, look, if you, and I mean every person watching this podcast, if you, with all your Christian privileges, can't have a meaningful, satisfying prayer life, you're basically saying no one can. And you don't believe that. You don't believe no one, unless they have your level of Christian privilege, can have a meaningful prayer life. You don't believe that. You believe a poor, uneducated believer in any other part of the world, you believe they can have a meaningful prayer life if they're, you know, truly converted, if they're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, it must be doable for you. Despite all the sense of failure you've had in the past about your prayer life, it must be doable for you to have a meaningful, satisfying prayer life. So what is the simple, permanent, biblical solution of that? When you pray, pray the Bible. Now, that doesn't seem overwhelming to a lot of people. I've never had anyone go, you know, when I say that. And that's good, right? Because, Jeff, it's not any Bible teacher's job to come up with something novel. Right? That's our job is to proclaim the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Now, it may be that we discover that, hey, here's something that's been overlooked largely. And to some degree, I think that's true. But most people have heard, if they've had any teaching on the Pauline epistles, for example, we come across these prayers of Paul, like at the end of Ephesians 1 or the end of Ephesians 3, and we say, you know, we ought to pray those prayers today. And people have heard that before. And we should pray those prayers. But I would contend we can pray the whole letter of Ephesians, not just the prayers. So that simple solution is to take a passage of Scripture and turn those words into the words of your prayers. And I think the easiest place to do that is in the book of Psalms.
Yeah.
Well, and you say that in your book, which is... And so many of those psalms are easy to just pray, verbatim. What would you say, what about the other ones that I feel like maybe it's not language I should borrow or that I might be taking something out of context to pray? And I'm sure that you both can think of the ones I'm thinking of.
Should we pray the wrath of God on people? You know, those kind of things. Right,
the imprecatory psalms. Yeah. Well, ultimately, I think we put all the psalms in the mouth of Jesus in some sense, because someday he is going to his lifelong unrepentant enemies. He will do the kinds of things and worse that are mentioned in those imprecatory psalms. But, I mean, those are inspired as John 3:16, and there's a lot of, hermeneutical untangling that needs to be done, but we don't want to dismiss them as uninspired. So first, as you said, Laura, so many of them are just verbatim, like the 23rd Psalm, you read, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, those are words you can pray for yourself as is. Any of us can say, Lord, I thank you that you are my shepherd. You're a good shepherd. Would you shepherd my family today? Would you shepherd me in this decision about my future? Cause my family to love you as their shepherd, as I love you as my shepherd. And then you go to the next line. So many of the psalms like that, and that's why I think it is the easiest place to start, because they were the prayers of David or someone else, inspired prayers, and we just adopt them as our very own prayers. But then if you get to the ones where it's a little more difficult, frankly, in a pastoral way, I say to people, okay, if you don't understand the next verse, skip it. If you understand it, it just doesn't prompt anything to pray about today. Fine, skip it. You'll come to those imprecatory sections. And I think even then we can say, I don't think we, you know, we put people's names in there anymore. But I mean, I think the Lord, you know, will, but I think we can still pray. I think basically you've got a decision of two ways there. And Lord, I'm on your side. I want your righteousness to be exalted. I want all your lifelong unrepentant enemies to be judged. I want there to be destruction forever of all unrighteousness, all opposition to you. I want the day to come when that disappears, that no longer exists.
That's good.
So we can pray those kinds of things using to be prompted by those particular passages. But very simply, I say to people, hey, if you don't understand something, you don't know how to turn that into prayer, go on down to the next verse. And if it ends up, the whole psalm is like that almost, okay, turn the page.
Mm. That's good. That's really practical advice too, because I think sometimes, you know, Christians, as they're reading the Bible, put pressure on themselves that, you know, do I have freedom to do that? Can I skip a verse if I don't know what it means, if I'm in the midst of praying through it? And just even to have a, you know, a pastor and seminary professor say, just skip it. It's okay. God loves you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's you're going to be all right. And it's still going to be significant, right?
Yeah. And let me say, I'm not saying those aren't important. I'm not saying if you are preaching it to omit verses. I'm talking about in your daily devotional life.
That's right.
Talking with God, where you're coming up, you're wanting to come up with something other than just memorized, rote words. You can take the words and already inspired by the heart and mind of God, circulate them through your heart and mind back to God, letting His words become the wings of your prayers, and just let Him initiate the conversation in the Word of God, what He's revealed to us, what He speaks to us. And we let Him speak until something in there causes us to want to respond. So just like I say something and that prompts a question, a response from you, and you say something and I say, yeah, you're exactly right, Jeff, and I elaborate on that. That's what we have because we do believe the Bible is the Word of God, right?
That's right.
This is God speaking. We're not imagining God saying things to us. This is God speaking. And so He speaks to me until there's something that I want to respond to. And maybe that takes several verses because, you know, you don't understand exactly what He means by what He's saying. But then He says something that really prompts you and you respond. And one of the things I love about praying the Bible is that by that means we experience prayer for what it actually is, a real conversation with a real person. Just like I'm having a real conversation with two real people right now. Well, God is a real person, and He really does speak in the Bible. That's Him speaking to us. And so I know that theologically, but I experience it when I pray the Bible.
Hmm. That's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm sitting here thinking about God has been doing a really just gracious work here over the last couple of years, and we've had a lot of folks join the church in the last, you know, 20 to 24 months, and many of those are pretty new to the faith. And so even as they, I mean, this is, and I can't wait for them to listen to this, so helpful and practical what you're sharing. But what, as even as you're saying what you're talking about, listening to the Lord and God speaking to us through His Word, if you would speak to those new believers, those who are new to the faith, they've heard terminology like listen to the Lord. He speaks to you through His Word. Mm-hmm. As practically as you can, what does that look like? How do we hear God? What, you know, is there something that we should feel or experience, or is it more in our conscience? Or, you know, what are some thoughts you have along that can help a new believer in that? Or even, honestly, there's people who've been walking with the Lord for a long time that are still trying to figure that out, right?
Well, exactly. That's right. Well, everything begins with what God has revealed. It begins with the Bible. What is the truth? What does the Bible claim about itself? And so first, we understand and we believe, you know, before we experience. And so the Bible is, it says that it is the written Word of God. It is breathed out by God, 2 Timothy tells us. And 2 Timothy 3:16 says it's breathed out by God. It, you know, it's for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. What does the Bible say about itself? And so, first of all, there's that foundation, and that it is sufficient. We don't need to close our eyes and look for some mystical speaking of the Holy Spirit to us apart from the Bible. If the Lord does something like that to you, unsought, unbidden, praise God. He can certainly do that. But we believe the Bible is God speaking and that it is sufficient. But we are supernaturalists, right? We do believe in the Holy Spirit, just as we believe the Spirit inspired the Bible. So the Spirit of God, I think we're most commonly going to experience Him through the Bible. And you have those times, to put it just experientially and plainly, you're reading the Bible and there's this conviction that, you know, that this is true, that this is really God speaking to you, applying this to you. And that's, I think, most often what it's like when we daily, alone with God, hear Him speak through the Bible. It's not some, we don't necessarily feel some mystical thing going on. It's just He, most of the time, we have a sense through the knowledge receptor that he's given us here, right? So this is what this part of our anatomy does. It receives knowledge, and we believe he's spoken in the Bible. And when we read that, that's him speaking to us.
Yeah.
Now, when we read, he says to Judas, you know, what thou doest, do us quickly kind of thing, as the old joke goes. This is where we have to learn the Bible, know the Bible, so we don't take just any word there
that's right.
and apply it immediately. Well, that's God's will for us. It may be God's will for one of his enemies. This is why it's important to hear good Bible preaching and teaching in the local church, and listen to good biblically sound music and be taught by that, and to get input from others. So I know I'm making this much longer and bigger than you wanted there, Jeff, but
no, that's good. That's good.
So, I mean, it's not this individualistic, okay, I don't need the church. I don't need anyone else. I have the Holy Spirit. I'll read the Bible on my own, and that's all I need. No, we're made interdependent. And so we understand each of us has different gifts and insights and abilities. And so I will learn some things the Bible teaches and applies from you, Jeff. You have experiences and education and so forth that I don't have, and vice versa. These are why God gives us different gifts and why we are in a body together. But having, you know, put that theological frame around it, let's talk about the new believer who has an open Bible and a cup of coffee or whatever some morning, and they say, what should I expect to happen here? Well, you read the Bible and you think about it. As Paul said to Timothy, think over what I say. Basically, it's another term for a very important Bible term called meditation, which personally I think is the single greatest devotional need of most Christians. So read a passage, and then the most important thing, think about it.
Yeah.
And over time, I believe God will help you sharpen your thinking and help you think about it more biblically. So I don't know. I'll quit kind of rambling really there if you want to guide that a little
bit. That's great. Better. I'll make a comment or two, and then I'll let Laura. I know I'm taking all your time, Laura.
I always have 100 questions.
I know. Well, and they're always good. No, but what I hear you saying there, Don, is so important in the sense of the Bible speaks primarily through his word. And he might here and there speak to you in another way, but it's not common. It's not as common as we might think it would be. And
we're not commanded to seek it any other way.
That's right. Exactly. And that's helpful too, in the sense of, okay, because we've encountered this before, right?
Yes.
Where someone says, hey, the Lord spoke to me. And then you go, well, you know, here's a thought. That's not in line with Scripture. So that's not the Lord. So, you know, and being able to say that to someone with grace and care and compassion, but then also with truth to say, hey, is it lining up with what the Bible says? Because God's word is how he primarily speaks to us. And that's what I hear you saying primarily there, and even what you just shared. And then through his people, obviously, as well, as the gathered body, the corporate gathering of the saints, the means of grace and sacraments and so forth, just where God is affirming to us his presence and his goodness in our lives.
And that's where his word is further revealed, right? It's his word preached, his word sung, his word prayed, his word read in the scripture readings. So God speaks through other people and in those occasions, because that's where his word is continually revealed. It's revealed in the gospel is displayed in the table, right? In the ordinances. So we believe God speaks in those occasions because that's where his word is most continually revealed.
Yeah, that's good.
That's great. I think we mentioned this to you earlier, but we are actually going to be airing this particular podcast series during the months leading up to the 2024 presidential election, which is we are kind of doing this on purpose as we're trying to help people understand what does it mean to live as a kingdom person in the midst of what can oftentimes being a kind of tumultuous season. And hopefully people will still listen to it after that. But specifically for this cultural moment, what would be the prayers of the Bible that you would kind of point people to be praying as we're leading up to an election, or just maybe even frame people's thinking or just things that they should be asking God for.
And I'll just add, when people are going to be tempted to panic and be fear-stricken and to be angry and all the things, where are some places they can go? And you say, man, if you as God's people would pray this, it would help you tremendously. Any thoughts there?
Well, I'm almost always going to say, unless it's you ask a pointed question that's specifically addressed in the Bible, I'm almost always going to say, go to the Psalms.
Yeah.
The reason why we have not only the miracle of the inspiration of 150 Psalms, we have the miracle of the preservation of 150 Psalms for, you know, more than 4,000 years. And in those 150 Psalms, you have the entire range of the human experience. There's nothing you will ever go through, no emotion, no general circumstance, no area of life that's not reflected somehow, usually repeatedly, in the book of Psalms. And so if a person will consistently go pray through the Psalms, and there's a little method I reveal in the, not reveal, I include in the back of the book, whereby I quickly scan five Psalms every day, take about 30 seconds to scan those five. Now pick one of them as the one to pray through for that day. It's uncanny. If you'll quickly scan five, how one of them will put into expression what's looking for expression in your heart, and you didn't even know it until you came across that psalm. You read a verse, yes, or that's it, yes. And so I think, Lauren, answer your question, if people will just generally do that in anywhere in the Bible, they will find things that apply. So, for example, if I generally want to pray for my family every day, right? If I pray through Psalm 23, it's Lord, shepherd my family and cause all members of my family to become your sheep and so forth and feed their souls. And then I'm in another passage. I'm in Psalm 139. Oh Lord, may every member of my family sense your presence today, wherever they go. So there's always something relevant. If I'm in 1 Corinthians 13, Lord, may my family manifest 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love to one another today. So wherever I am, there's hardly a place I can't think of something to say for my family through the words of that passage. In other words, I want to pray about my family every day, but I don't want to say, Lord, bless my family today. You know, words without variety tend to become words without meaning. So if I want to pray for my family, but I pray that through a different passage of Scripture, then it comes out a different prayer. It's basically the same thing. God's blessing, guidance, all that on my family. Bless my family, though, prayed through a different passage, comes out a different prayer. And therefore, if someone just goes to prayer and they're thinking about the election and they're troubled with issues and so forth, I think almost anywhere they, any passage they read, there's going to be something there that's going to, it's going to apply to the election.
Yeah.
Or anything else that's on their minds.
Well,
that's
right. And so often we as believers think that the experience we have is like the first time that anyone has ever been troubled. Like we have to also we have the perspective in the Psalms that, we believers have been living in a land that's not our own for a long time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot we can, there's a lot of prayers we can borrow from the Scripture, because honestly, our situation is not that different.
It helps us to, as you said, Don, there's so many different ways of expression that you see in the Psalms, and it helps us pray our emotions, pray what we're feeling, take what we're feeling to the throne room of God and let Him meet us there, and even give us permission to do so. You know, to see that, hey, the psalmist said this, so I guess it's okay to say that to the Lord and take it to the Lord, right? So
that's right.
That's so helpful.
Yeah, and we're told to pray in accordance with His will, right? Or He will not hear us. Can you have any greater assurance you're praying the will of God than when you're praying the Word of God? Now, that doesn't mean I can't take some passage and pray it selfishly, you know, but by and large, I think the greatest way we can have the assurance we're praying the will of God is when we're consistently praying the Word of God.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
That's good. Well, for those listening and watching, This is a great book, so approachable and so helpful. I'm looking back, you know, Don, you did a great job of keeping this. I mean, it's roughly 97 pages, I believe, something in that ballpark. So if you go, hey, I'm not much of a reader, then great. This is a book you can read, and you're getting, and it packs a punch. You're going to get a lot out of this.
Yeah. Or listen to. Yeah, it's an audio book too. So
there you go. Do you do the voice? Are you the one reading it?
I think so. I've done a couple, and I think there's one of them. I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's even more reason to listen to it. So anyway, grab this, Praying the Bible, Donald S. Whitney on the cover there, and you'll be greatly blessed by it. Don, thank you so much for joining us today and for taking the time. I know you've got a lot going on in your world, both at work and at home, but thank you for spending time with us.
You're welcome. And if I could add one word if they do read the book. There's a point in chapter 7 where it says, hey, put the book down now, and I want you to pray through a psalm for 7 minutes. You turn the page, and it says, did you do it, or are you still reading the book? You know, no, I'm serious. Put the book down. Actually try this. That's when lives are changed. Yes. Otherwise, people say, yeah, that's a good idea. I'll have to try that someday, and they never do. So I plead with them, if they do read it, at least have that one exercise of 5, 6, 7 minutes where you pray through a psalm. And that will make all the difference in the world.
Put it into practice.
Yeah. And thank you. Yeah. This is just such a tremendous resource for people who struggle with this area of prayer. So thank you for the gift this is to the church.
Yeah. Yeah. You're welcome, Laura. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. Blessings to you, brother. And to all you watching and listening, we look forward to you joining us again when this next episode drops and we continue in this series of Kingdom People.